Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground. And you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures and must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
We're on the record. The jury is present. State call its next witness. All right, ma'am.
Would you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
All right, go and have a seat to my left.
Do you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name is Kay Woodcock, Charles Vallow's younger sister.
How old are you?
How old am I today?
Today.
64.
And are you married?
Yes.
Where do you currently live?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
I want to talk to you about your siblings. You told us that you are Charles's sister. How many siblings were there in your family?
Six.
And where did Charles fall into that?
He was number three.
Who are the other siblings?
My oldest sister, Terry, then my next sister, Susan, then Charles, then Jerry, then me, then Bobby.
And where did you guys grow up?
We're in Lake Charles.
Okay. Were you close with your brother?
Yes, I was.
Did you know his wife, Lori Vallow?
Yes, I do.
Can you point her out in the courtroom and tell us what she's wearing?
She's the defendant over there in the black jacket.
Your Honor, may the record reflect the witness has identified the defendant.
Mitchell.
I want to talk to you sort of about Lori and Charles. Were you at their wedding?
No, they went to Las Vegas.
Do you recall what year they got married?
2006.
Did they have a reception that?
I don't know if that's what you'd call it, but there was a family gathering in March of 2006 at a ranch in near Austin, Texas, that we all went to.
Okay. Kind of to celebrate that?
Yes.
Had your brother Charles been married before?
Yes.
Did he have any children from his prior marriage?
Yes.
How many?
Two.
And who were they?
Cole Vallow and Zach Vallow.
And did you know if Lori had any children from a prior marriage?
Yes. Colby Ryan and Tylee Ryan.
When Lori and Charles got married, did Charles's two sons live with them?
Live with Charles and Lori?
Yeah.
No.
Did they stay with their mother?
Yes, they did. They visited, but they never lived there.
Where were they? Was that in Arizona or still in Texas?
In Austin.
I want to ask you sort of some of the ages of the children involved. In July of 2019, was Tylee still a minor?
Yes.
So she was still living with them?
Yes.
In July of 29, do you know if Colby was still a minor?
Yes. Oh, wait, no, Colby was not.
He was an adult. And in July of 2019, were Charles' two sons, Cole and Zach, still minors or adults?
They were adults.
Okay. Did Charles and Lori have any children together?
They adopted my grandson, JJ.
And can you tell us how that worked out?
How that worked out,
How did they get involved in adopting your grandchild?
Charles approached me about it one day. He called, and I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on then, and that was my son's child, and there was a lot going on. So I just told him then, look, I can't make a decision like that. We don't know how this is going to go. Just keep me in mind. Keep it in mind. And so I kept it in mind.
And do you recall, when did they adopt JJ?
It was final in July of 2014.
How old was he then?
He was two.
Okay. Did JJ have any special needs?
Yes, he was autistic, and he was born 10 weeks premature.
Okay. So he took a little extra care.
He did, absolutely.
Do you recall, so if he was two and they adopted him, how old was he in July of 2019?
He was seven. We spent his seventh birthday together in Lake Charles.
So in July of 2019, to your knowledge, Lori and Charles still had two children under the age of 18 with them, Tylee and JJ?
Yes.
So if in July of 2019, Lori Vallow was saying she had five kids she was taking care of, you were unaware of the other three?
There were not five there, no. There were two.
Can you tell us about the relationship between Charles and JJ?
Charles was the best dad. I mean, he was always doting on him. The arrangement I figured out eventually was that if Charles was working out of town, Lori had him all by herself. And so when Charles got back to town, JJ was his to take care of 100%.
Would Charles bring JJ to visit your side of the family in Louisiana?
Oh, yes.
Did you regularly see him?
Yes. Once JJ learned how to fly, Once JJ learned how to fly, and, you know, that he was, because he was autistic, something like that is, a big deal for him. And he loved it. So he was a little flyer. He loved to go in the airplane.
What did your brother Charles do for a living?
He sold annuities. He was a financial planner.
And how long did you know him to do that?
Um, if I had to guess, 20 years, I guess.
Did he work for others or have his own business? What do you recall?
He had his own business.
Had he previously at any times ever worked for others?
Yes. Okay.
But in July of 2019, he had his own business?
Yes.
Did he have a business partner?
He did, yes.
Did his job require him to travel a lot?
He did. He would be gone 3 or 4 days a week on average. Sometimes he didn't have to travel, but he would be gone 3 or 4 days a week when he would be working.
I want to ask you a little bit about Charles. Was he sort of a meticulous person when it came to paperwork?
Oh, yes. I mean, for when you're doing that type of work, you have to be meticulous and methodical, and you can't make any errors. You can't miss a dot or crossing a T because it will get kicked back to you, and then it just causes a lot of delay and a lot of trouble. So he was actually, he said, there is never anybody I've ever trusted to do this for me. And I was like, well, I'll do it for you because...
All right, we'll stop here.
Yeah.
So when Charles was working as financial planner, do you know if he had Lori help him with any part of his job?
I don't really know exactly what she did, but yes.
Okay.
But I don't know what she did.
Prior to Charles being a financial advisor, did he have a very different career in sports?
Oh, he was, he quit, I don't remember because I was quite young then, but he did, I believe he was drafted in the early 70s into the Houston Astros minor league.
So when you were growing up, did you see your brother playing baseball?
I was raised at a baseball field. If it wasn't Charles, Jerry played for years, my other brother. But Charles stuck with it, and that's how he got to college with a degree, with a scholarship.
So you got stuck many a night and a weekend having to be at the ball field with your brother.
Yes.
What position did your brother play?
He was a pitcher. He was very, very good. He was a left-handed pitcher, and they're very hard to hit against.
Okay. Did he bat right or left-handed?
He was left-handed.
Did he do everything left-handed?
Yes.
After your brother, well, let me ask you, do you know how long he played in the semi-pro?
I don't. He had moved to Houston, and but he blew out his knee, and that's ended that right there.
Did your brother stay in shape after that, even though he blew out his knee?
Oh, yes. He was always doing something, always. Bike riding, hiking, just anything. Gym, he was very active.
So every time you saw him, he was taking care of himself?
Yes.
I want to ask you a little bit about religion. Did your family grow up in the LDS church or faith?
No, we did not.
Did you know Charles to ever convert to the LDS faith?
He did at some point during his marriage to Lori.
Okay. When Lori and Charles were married, did they always live in one state or did they move?
No, they lived here in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, Chandler, Gilbert, and then they moved to Hawaii in 2014, and then they moved back late 2016 or early 2017. Back here to Phoenix area.
Do you recall where they were, what state they were in when they met?
When Charles and Lori met?
Yeah.
They were in Texas.
Texas, okay. In 2018 and 19, you told us that Charles and JJ would come visit you and the family regularly.
Yes.
In March of 2018, did you have a member of your family pass away?
Yes, my mother did in March of 18.
Did Charles come out for that?
Yes, he did. He was there for her services. Lori was not, and we felt like something was going on. Well, actually, my husband felt it before I did, and then when she didn't show for my mother's funeral, I just thought that was just appalling. It appalled me that she wouldn't even come to something like that with her husband.
What was your relationship like with Lori?
Because of the work I did, the company we owned, I was on the phone an extreme amount of time, all the time. So I really don't like to call people. I'm not a phone person. I'll text you all day long, but I really don't like to talk. And so Lori and I never really had a big phone relationship. It was a text here and there. But mostly Charles would keep me up to date as to, you know, different things that were going on or, you know, what they were up to. Or Charles would call. Yeah, Charles would call me mostly.
So you weren't, it sounds like you weren't close with her.
When Lori and I were together, it was like we hadn't missed a minute. We just took up where we left off, and she's very outgoing, and she's very friendly and very easy to talk to, and so we got along rather well, and I loved her.
Okay. So continuing in 2018, do you recall seeing Charles and JJ coming out to visit you guys in October of 2018?
Yes.
What was that for?
Just a weekend visit.
Okay. What about in November of 2018? Did you see Charles and JJ then?
We did. My husband and myself and my granddaughter, we went to Las Vegas, and Charles and JJ met us there for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I thought that was odd. He wasn't with his family. He said Lori was sick, or Tylee was sick, is what he told us. But it just, I mean, he just wouldn't share what all was going on at that point. Then when he finally did, he unloaded it all.
So in 2018, did you have any idea there were any, let me say this. In 2018, did you have some concerns about their relationship?
Yes, it was for him to come as often as they were coming was odd. And just, he was just unsettled, and we knew something was going on, but he would never say. So we just, he did, you know, he talked to us when he was ready.
When we get into 2019, did you start to see your brother more?
Yes.
First, without going into what Charles said, did you ever become aware finally that his marriage with Lori was in trouble?
Yes, I did.
In 2019, again, without going into what Charles said, did you ever believe that Charles was concerned for his safety?
Charles was absolutely concerned for his safety. Lori had sent me a text, I think it was on a Thursday, that she and Charles were fighting because he had some stuff she came up with, and that she and JJ and Tylee were at a hotel. Well, I guess Tylee was. I'm not sure. And because she didn't want to have any fighting, so they went to a hotel, and I came out. I knew Charles the next day. That's when she sent it to me, and then I just really didn't. I didn't call Charles. I knew he'd call me, and he sure enough did. And he was a mess, and so I flew out the next day out here to help him with JJ, and just to come and talk to him and see what was going on. He was alone, and Lori's family turned their backs on him and JJ. Okay.
Let's just kind of break it all down.
All right.
You got a lot that you remember. So you said that you got a text from Lori indicating that she and JJ and Tylee were at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said that Charles then called you maybe the next day?
Yeah.
And you came out here to Arizona?
Yes.
When you came out here to Arizona, did you become aware at that point that there was a big problem now with their relationship?
There was a huge problem now with their relationship.
And during this time when you had come out here, do you remember approximately when that was?
It's like the 1st of February of 2019, or the 2nd. It was right in there.
When you came out here, did you then speak with Charles about his concerns for his safety? Just yes or no.
About his what?
His concerns for his safety.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's just yes. Is this the time where, let me ask it this time. When you came out here, did you see Lori?
No.
When you came out here, did anyone know where Lori was?
No, nobody was talking about where she was. Nobody would tell Charles where she was.
So your brother was trying to find where she was?
Yes, he was.
Where was JJ at this time?
He was with Charles, and that's what one of the reasons I came out was to help him with JJ, because he was quite a handful, and Charles was, he was a mess. He was broken. He was a broken-hearted man.
So you come out here, Charles has JJ. Where's Tylee? Do you know?
She's, as far as we knew, she was staying at Lori's brother's. That's what we knew then.
Okay. Did you have any interaction with her?
No.
How long did Charles have JJ where he's looking for Lori and can't find her?
Well, that portion of the time was 58 days, and I knew how many days it was because every day Charles would say something. He would tell me.
But he was counting them.
He would count them.
Were you out here the whole time? What'd you do?
I could work remotely at the time, so I did stay out here a lot, often, but I would fly back. I was back and forth between Louisiana and here from February until the end of March, because at that point we moved Charles to Houston.
Okay. So the end of March, you said you were moving Charles to Houston. Was that with JJ?
Yes.
Why was Charles going to be, why are you helping him move to Houston?
Because it was, Charles told me that Lori did not want JJ anymore or Tylee or him. And I said, okay, well, look, what if you move to Houston and I'll be 2.5 hours away And when you go out of town, I'll come and stay with JJ. And so he was talked about hiring a nanny, and I said, no, I will be the nanny, and I'll come and take care of him when you have to work. And it's easy enough, and you know, you won't have to pay a penny.
So when Charles has JJ, you're helping take care of JJ in this time period in February, March?
Yes.
What about Charles's business? Did you help with that at all?
Yes. I had to get my arms around the whole thing. The payments that needed to be made, the accounts, the emails, all that stuff you have to change over and change the password and all that so Lori couldn't access it any longer.
You said you had your own job. What were you doing at that time in addition to helping your brother?
My husband and I owned a coastal crew change. It was a transportation company for the offshore oil and gas and LNG industry.
Okay. So you're trying to work that job and help Charles with his business.
Yes, I had a really great assistant who helped me an awful lot.
Do you remember when you were packing up to move Charles to Houston?
Yes.
Were you there?
I was there.
Did Lori show back up?
She did. I was in the pantry in the kitchen, packing up the pantry, and I don't know what, just something caught my attention, and I walked out, and she was standing there. She had her back to me. Charles was sitting at the table on his phone, and he obviously didn't realize that she was there, and then finally, when he hung up, he looked up, and there she was, and he started crying, and she started yelling.
Do you recall what she was yelling about?
That, why did you take JJ? Why did you take JJ? Why did you take him out of school? Why are you moving? What are you doing? All this is your fault. It was just ridiculous.
So she'd been gone for 58 days, leaving...
no contact whatsoever.
And then she shows up at the house when you guys are moving out.
Yeah.
What was Charles's like demeanor reaction? You said he was crying?
He was at first, but then he was just trying. Charles was a very soft-spoken man, and he was just trying to get a word in edgewise, and finally Lori settled down a little bit, and they talked for a while in the living room, or I guess it's like a great room. And then they moved to the bedroom to talk. And I could still hear every now and then Lori would get a little loud, but they were talking. And then I remember that Lori came. Let's see, I was sitting at the dining table, and she stood next to me, and she said, I love you, KK. And I said, well, I love you too. I'm sorry this is happening. And she cried, and I didn't know what to do, really. So, I mean, I just was there. And then she walked off, and the next day she came. I don't know who came, but they got Tylee's belongings out of the casita where all of Tylee's belongings were. And I don't remember if she got anything of hers. I really don't remember.
Okay. So are we now talking the beginning, end of March, beginning of April of 2019, when Charles is moving back to Houston?
Yes.
Did he bring JJ with him?
Yes. Well, in order for me and Charles to move in, Larry, I flew out here and brought JJ back to Louisiana with me. And then my husband, Larry, kept him for a week while we were while I flew back here to help Charles pack and then drive back to Houston.
All right, so you guys rented a big truck and drove it?
He drove the U-Haul. I drove his pickup.
All right. When you got, when you and Charles got to Houston, then did JJ come, did your husband bring JJ back?
Yes, he did.
Through all of this time with Charles, when he was looking for Lori while she was gone for those 58 days, did he still want Lori to be part of JJ's life?
He did. He did. He never was trying to take that away from Lori, even though Lori didn't want him anymore. I still didn't. I never really understood that, but I guess he was just hoping for the best. But yes, he absolutely wanted her to be part of his life, Lori's life.
So once Charles moved to Houston, did Lori ever also move out there?
I don't know if you call it moved out there, but she did. She came that day on March 28th. Charles said, look, we're moving to Houston. You're welcome to come. I'll fly you out Sunday. And she said, no, I'm busy. I have a project or something she was doing in Hawaii. She said, it'll be about 2 weeks and I'll be in Houston. So she, whatever she did, she was gone for two more weeks. It was a total of 72 days, I believe, she was gone altogether. And then she was there. She and Tylee moved in at Charles's, and Charles said that she slept in JJ's room with him.
So the first 2 weeks when Charles and JJ are in Houston without Lori, were you ever there to help with JJ or Charles' business?
No, Lori was there. I mean, I guess JJ was
before she moved there. The 2 weeks.
Oh, I think.
Or did
no,
you?
I had to go home for a little while, but Charles came like the weekend, and, so he. If I wasn't here, he was there.
Okay. So once you drove him there, you may have stayed to help him, and then you went home.
Yeah.
And you weren't there when Lori came to Houston?
No.
You told us that you had been helping your brother with his business, and I think you'd said something about changing passwords?
Yeah.
Was that to different financial accounts?
Right, credit card, you know, banks, stuff like that. Yeah, the password to Google, the password to, you know.
All the things you use for business.
Yes.
And so when you started helping him, you had changed a lot of those passwords.
Yes.
At some point, did you become aware that, or at some point did Charles stop asking you to help him with the business?
He did, and that's when Lori came back.
Okay. Now, you said that your brother worked in annuities, right?
Yes.
Right, that last part of the time when you were working with him up through sort of the end of March, beginning of April, were you aware of Charles coming into a large amount of money?
He was receiving an annuity. What do you call it? I can't think of the word right now, but he was receiving like a $125,000 check for his commission for annuities. And Lori obviously knew that because she was there just a few days before that came into the bank, that was deposited into the bank. I had access to the bank, so I would watch that.
So even though Lori came back, you still had the passwords to look into Charles's account?
Yes.
Do you know how long Lori stayed in Texas with Charles?
It was, it's like she wasn't there the entire time, but I mean, she was always traveling through May. I'll say towards the end of May. I'm not for sure exactly what day.
Okay. So at some point, a couple months later, you become aware that she has left Houston?
Yes.
Did you know where she went?
Yeah, she was back in here, back here.
Did you know, did JJ come with her when she moved back here to Arizona?
He did.
And did you know, did your brother move back here?
No, he did not.
And with your access to the finances, were you aware whether or not Charles was paying for a house here in Arizona for Lori and JJ?
I really don't recall seeing that transaction. I really don't, but that, you know, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. At that time, I was selling my company, and so I had a lot going on at that time, and that's when it was really getting, you know, the due diligence. The company was doing their due diligence, so I had to provide a lot of information for them. And so it really was perfect timing, because then I got super busy with my company, and I didn't have to deal with all of Charles's because Lori was back. Or
let me ask you something else. Were you aware of when Charles met Lori, where they got married? Was she, do you know if she worked?
She was a hairdresser. She did work as a hairdresser. And I don't know exactly when she quit working, but she didn't, I don't think she worked long, if she did, after they got married.
Okay. So for most of the time when you knew them to be married, you did not see her working outside the home?
No.
Did Charles, I guess, work so she could stay home with the kids?
Yes, he was fine with being a one income, you know, letting her stay home, tend to the kids, and he was he would be the money maker.
Now, I know that we've talked about Charles working in the area of financial planning. Did you know if Charles had a life insurance policy?
Yes.
That's something that, how did you learn about that?
Well, I mean, he had told my husband Larry and I years ago, he helped us acquire $1 million life insurance policy on, you know, for me and my husband each. And because he always had one, and Lori had one, so that was nothing new or unusual to talk about.
Okay. At some point when you were helping Charles, when Lori had disappeared and Charles didn't know where she was, did you have a conversation with Charles about the beneficiary of his life insurance?
Yes. It was early February when I came here to help him with JJ, and he said, look, I'm going to take Lori off as beneficiary, and I'm going to put you as a beneficiary. And I was like, we talked about maybe a minute and a half about it, and I was like, okay, whatever. I really don't want to be that person, but okay. And I never followed up to see if he changed. I didn't know until I got the phone call after he was killed.
So the discussion you had of that change was during that time period when he couldn't find Lori, he had no idea where he was, and he was taking care of JJ?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you were helping him take care of JJ?
Yes.
So if something had happened to Charles during that time when Lori wasn't around, would you have taken care of JJ?
Yes, he would have come back to me and my husband.
It So I want to kind of go to right around that July time period. Do you recall when was the last time, I'll start with, when was the last time you saw your brother, Charles?
That's a good question. Probably must have been in June.
And do you recall where that was or the
I think he came to Lake Charles for the weekend.
Did you see JJ then?
Yeah, no. The last time I saw JJ was May 18th.
When was the last time you recall speaking or texting with your brother, Charles?
He texted me the night before he was shot, and just, hey, I'm gonna be in Phoenix tomorrow, and you know, how's it going? And just a little short text, and I'm boarding the plane now, and I'll be back in Phoenix in a little bit. And then he told me a few other things he had planned, but that was not a big deal.
Did you think he was going to Phoenix to just see JJ?
Yes.
Did you know anything about any type of intervention?
No, he never talked. If he did talk to me about it, and I'm pretty sure I would have remembered that. But no, I know that he and Adam was his confidant during that time, Lori's brother, and so I know that whatever he was doing, you know, Adam was part of it, and you know, they were just, I knew he was in good hands with Adam, because Adam, they loved Charles, him and his wife.
Do you have any knowledge of Charles wanting to get a place here in Phoenix so he could be closer to JJ?
I don't remember that, but I can't remember that. I mean, I don't think, I don't know.
No, I can't answer that. That's okay. I want to talk to you then about, so you talked to your brother, just kind of normal stuff as he was, before he got here to Phoenix. How did you learn that your brother Charles was dead?
It was on July the 12th. I was at a nail salon in Lake Charles, my granddaughter and I, and I got a call from his oldest son, Cole, and he said, hey, what is going on? I just got a text from Lori, and she said, Dad's dead. And I said, wait, what did you just say? And he told me again, and I said, something's wrong with that. That can't be true. And I said, have you tried to call her? And Cole's like, yeah, she won't. I'm trying to call her, and she's not answering. He was freaking out, and I was like, okay, Cole, just give me a minute. Let me think about this. Let me see, and I'll call you back. I promise, as soon as I can figure this out. So I called my husband to tell him, and he said, okay, well, I told him that what the Cole said, and he said, hey, let me call you back in a minute. And so I was still at the nail salon trying to get out of there, and he called, and he said, he's dead. I Googled him, and he's dead. Alex killed him yesterday. And, I mean, that was just like, it was horrible. I have to call my siblings and let them know. Thank you. And everybody was just freaked out. I didn't know what to do. But I did call Cole back and let him know that it was true, and just
was telling B, you know, let's keep in touch. You find out something, I'll find out something. You know, we'll let each other know. And
did you try to reach out to Lori?
I've tried calling, texting Charles. I tried calling, texting Lori. And at some point, she texted me. She returned a text, something like, I'm having to deal with a lot of stuff, and I'm busy, and she was too busy to even call his family to say that he was dead by her brother killing him. And
take a breath. So you had tried to reach her, and she was too busy to talk to you.
Yeah.
Did you ever? What was the burial plans? Did you ever get Charles back? What happened with him?
We ended up calling a detective. The detectives in Chandler, since that's where it happened, and we were able to speak to a detective. I don't know who. But we told them that I had already arranged us a flight for the next day. We were here by noon Saturday because I needed to know where JJ was. I didn't know what he had seen. I didn't know what he knew. I knew he would be, I knew it wasn't good, but I couldn't. We had to talk to the detectives before I did anything with Lori. So, and we had to wait till Sunday to meet with Nate Moffitt. And then when we talked to him is when I told him about the life insurance policy and that Lori, that I didn't know if Charles had ever changed it to me like he said he was going to do. And so I didn't know, but I just knew we had to get JJ because he was not safe with her.
Let me stop you there. I'm going to go back to Charles. Where was Charles buried, or where was his, what was done with his remains?
Well, this was before Lori knew she wasn't getting the money. She had him cremated, and he was mailed. He was a FedEx or whatever over to my office, along with his letterman's jacket from high school and a couple pair of cheap sunglasses and one or two watches. It was just a few little trinkets. And Charles had a watch collection, and she just sent some crap.
So she FedExed, cremated him and FedExed him to you?
Yes.
Sent him to your work office?
Yes.
Now you're saying this is before she learned the life insurance policy was not going to be, she was not going to be the beneficiary. Did you set up like a service for Charles?
Yes, my family and I made arrangements for a memorial service to happen in Lake Charles on August the 3rd, which was, he was killed July 11th. So it took us a little bit to put it together, but we did.
Did you talk to Lori about having JJ come out for Charles's service?
I think the last time I talked to Lori was she told us that she wanted, I asked her, what can we do in Houston? I was trying to be nice because I knew she had something to do with his murder. And I'm not one that can just lie off the cuff. I'm a bad liar. And so I would, when I did talk to her, and it was a long, awkward conversation I had with her, but I was like, what do you want us to do with the stuff at the house in Houston? But when we got to the house in Houston, and she did, y'all please go do what you want to do with it, see what Cole wants, y'all split it up, y'all take care, take it.
She gave you permission to go to the house in Houston and take whatever was there?
Yes, and when we got there, none of Charles's personal belongings were there, nothing at all. And that, I couldn't figure out why nothing of Charles's or JJ's was there. Nothing of Charles's was there. Just his business files and the big furniture, sofa, beds, stuff like that.
So you went there, you did that. How did you, and you told us that you did not know for sure if your brother had ever changed the beneficiary from Lori to you. How did you find out if that was done?
I think it was the following week, a lady from Banner Life, that's where it's policy, who wrote the policy, a lady called and said that I was the beneficiary. I was the sole beneficiary. And, what was our address? And she wanted to verify a few things and to send out the check.
Okay. When you got that call, did you ever have Lori confront you about the life insurance policy?
Did I ever have Lori what?
Yeah, did Lori ever confront you about being the beneficiary for Charles's life insurance policy?
Yes. She didn't call and do it. She sent me a text one night, a picture or two of a screenshot. She took a screenshot of the change of beneficiary form with my name on it. And she said something to the effect of five kids and his sister gets all the money, or is that why you want JJ? Something to that effect, which it made no sense. I want JJ, period. That was a dumb statement by her.
So let me ask you this. So she told you again that she was left with these five kids, right?
Yeah, five kids. She had Colby and Tylee and JJ. And Colby was out of the house, so it was just Tylee and JJ.
But she's messaging you this saying how upset she is because she has five kids to take care of.
Yeah.
And then she tells you that, is this why you wanted JJ to come to Charles's service?
No, I had already gotten the okay from her to come get him. I was going to fly here, pick him up, go back to Louisiana, keep him for a week, so he could attend the service during that time. And when she found the change of beneficiary form, she said that she was too busy. They were moving to Hawaii, and it would be too confusing for JJ to come, and he needed to be with her.
So after she found out and had confronted you about that change of beneficiary where you are now getting Charles's life insurance policy, she changed her mind and refused to let JJ go to Charles's service,
his
service. After this confrontation about Charles making you the beneficiary of the life insurance policy, did that pretty much end most of the contact you had with Lori, other than you reaching out to talk with JJ?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
All right, Cross.
Thank you. Ms. McCock.
Where were you on July 11th, 2019?
At home in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Were you aware at all of the relationship between Charles and Ty Lee?
It was, let's say, it was a bit contemptuous. It seemed like there was always a lot of drama going on, and that's all I knew. He didn't say too much about it, and I didn't pry.
But you knew that there was some kind of contention going on with those two for a while.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. You did know that there was some kind of contention going on with those two for a while?
Yes.
Okay. And you weren't really aware of the events that happened that morning, were you?
The morning of his murder?
Of July 11th?
No, I wasn't.
Because
you didn't tell me.
Ms. Woodcock, did you see or hear or personally witness me conspire with Alex Cox to kill my husband, Charles Vallow?
No, but I saw a ton of evidence that did.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right, redirect.
Just briefly. You were asked about the relationship between your brother and Ty Lee. How old was Ty Lee when Lori and Charles got married?
She was three, right around three.
So was Charles in her life for most of her memorable years?
Exactly. Yes, he was.
And how old was she in July of 2019?
She was 16.
So a teenager.
Yes.
In terms of their relationship, are you saying that Charles and Ty Lee never had good times?
Oh, I'm not saying that. I saw them have good times, and it wasn't that they couldn't look at each other, or, you know, it wasn't like that. But, I mean, yeah, a teenage girl on one is hard anyway, but I do know that there was a lot of issues with her dad and Lori with her ex-husband and custody, and it was a mess. It was a mess.
So Ty Lee had a lot going on in her life.
Yes, she did.
And you would see her and Charles at times have difficulty getting along?
I never really saw anything that sticks out in my mind. But I just know he'd tell me how it was just difficult. And, as a step-parent, it can be very difficult. I can attest to that.
So on July 11th, when Charles Vallow was killed, did you actually have any idea that your brother was dead?
None at all. How would I know?
So, in terms of you learning that your brother was dead, it was never from Lori Vallow.
Or from her.
It was
from Google that my husband found.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Are there any questions for this witness from anyone on the jury? I don't see any questions. You can step down now.
Thank you.
Done. All right. Members of the jury, that's going to conclude trial for this week. No trial tomorrow. I'm going to try to start early on Monday and Tuesday only. So just to preview next week, I plan on, if you guys can all be here at 10 a.m., ready to start a little earlier than normal for Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be back to the 10:30 a.m. All right. I'll remind you to remember the admonition and avoid any sort of information about this case that you do not receive from this, that's outside of this courtroom, I should say. All right, thank you. We'll be at recess.
All rise for the jury.
Is there anything from either the state or the defense?
No.
All right, we'll see you Monday morning.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground. And you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures. It must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground. And you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures. It must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday.
Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego Chicken Sandwich, Fuego Fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego Chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty Classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego Chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.